On this gloomy Sunday, we are looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Before we do that, will you join me in prayer? Father, open our hearts and minds to receive all that you'd have for us. Give us wisdom and peace as we discern your word. Help us to feel your presence, and Lord, meet us where we're at. Don't leave us there. Change us in accordance with your will. In the name of Jesus, amen. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. This is God's word. Well, I have to confess to you this morning, I've never been one of those people throughout my life to ever say that I have had no regrets. Oh, maybe that would be one of those things that makes me weak in the eyes of our culture, but really, if we come right down to it, I just don't believe that anybody, even though they might seem to say otherwise, might say that they have lived their life without any regrets. I just don't believe it. I say this knowing for certain, of course, that hard times, that difficulties, right, these things that I may regret have shaped me. However, even knowing that, I would never say that I didn't regret that thing or something, or at least aspects of it, especially if it was something that caused me harm or my family harm, as you might imagine. It doesn't mean that I'm sitting around losing tons of sleep over these sorts of things, over these last regrets, or it's something that I dwell on and can never get out of my mind either. But I do think for all of us, we tend to have some moments of regret, or at least regret about aspects of things that we have done at various points in our lives. Often they are major parts of the lows that we have experienced, the cycles that are just simply the ins and outs of life. The reality is, though, all these things, all the highs, the high highs, if you will, the low lows, they're all part of this crazy little thing that we have called life. Now that is at least in part the point of the text that we are looking at this morning. Right? This is part of the idea that it conveys to us in our text this morning. These ins and outs, these ups and downs, are part of life. We are here as God's people along for the ride. And our hope is then, as we are riding along, is that God will use us and be glorified throughout those many facets of life. Because ultimately, we know as God's people, that is our goal. And so as we bear that in mind, let's take a look at our text this morning. The book of Ecclesiastes is another one of those wisdom books throughout the Bible. And the uniqueness, though, about the book of Ecclesiastes is that it examines the human experience and all that happens, and it tends to fight this common tear, this struggle that you and I have, this challenge to live throughout our existence. Right? And so as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, right, as it messes with or lives in that tension that we face, it opens with this profound and this, I don't know, almost horrible sort of opening where it says, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What a downer, what a downing way to start a book. But it ends with a firm reminder to us that not everything is meaningless. In fact, nothing is. Everything, in fact, has great purpose. In chapter 12, it ends by saying, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind." This is the tension that the book conveys and quite frankly, that each and every one of us feel, right? This tension between these activities that very much seem pointless, and yet recognition that all of it has deep meaning as we trust in God. Because let's be honest, life does very often feel mundane and pointless. But even then, even in those moments, we are called to fear God and keep his commands. As you read the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisdom within it is so profound because it is so normal, right? It deals with the normal aspects of our mundane life. And that's what makes it one of the most relatable books throughout the Bible. And our text this morning is a shining example of just that. Here, as we look at this list, this poem, we see two sets of contrasting ideas, events, or we might even say happenings. It's not by chance that these two sets of ideas come in two sets of 14 either. In Hebrew poetry, which is how this portion of the chapter is laid out, it's constructed, 14 is a symbol of completeness. Now this ought to make sense with what the teacher, which is what the author refers to himself throughout the book, it makes sense with what he is trying to convey to us in this text. Everything contrasted in these lists of ideas or activities, as it says, these are activities that each of us will inevitably face under the heavens, which simply, of course, means throughout the course of life. As we look at these ideas, these events or these happenings, these are not always things that are completely within our control either. You don't get to choose when or whom you are born to, and quite frankly, most of the time, you don't get to choose when you will die. You don't get to choose when you will mourn either or weep. This is just how life works. These things happen to us. And we all know it because we have all experienced it throughout different times in our lives in different ways. And yet, as we think about this, and as we look at these lists, much, if not the majority of these things, are things that are completely under your control. It's in your control because when things happen in life, it is in your control then to choose and act, or rather react in a certain way. You get the opportunity to choose whether or not you will love or act in hate. You get to learn and decide when the right time is to tear things down, or rather build up. And you get to learn when the time is right to speak and when not to speak. And the point of this passage this morning is that in life there is a time and place for all of it. But we need to recognize with wisdom when the time is right for each of them. Our goal then as God's people is to discern all of it while honoring him and keeping his commands. So with this in mind, knowing that the bulk of life's ups and downs can be and are affected by how you react, are you mindful of your reactions? Think about this. This isn't simply some pop psychology trick, right? God is honored in your interactions. This is how God works in and through the world, through your interactions in this world. One of the key references that Jesus makes to his apostles, to his people, just before he ascends into heaven, found in Acts chapter 1, we find this key reference he makes there. He says to his disciples at that point, he asks them to stay in Jerusalem until they receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to him, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus refers to his people as witnesses. Now think about what a witness is meant to do. They are meant to give a testimony. They are meant to testify to something. They are meant to be the ones that are to verify an event, an experience. And they're meant to convey what they believe happened in that experience by giving their testimony, if you will. Not necessarily pointing to themselves in that moment as they're giving it, but rather to that event, or rather in our case, as you consider us as Christians, to that person. We are meant to point to Jesus as his witnesses. But when you are acting as a witness, think about this. If you're sitting in a courtroom giving testimony, or even just simply giving testimony to a police officer or an individual about that event or that thing that happened, the jury or the police officer, individual, whatever the case might be, they're not just listening to your voice. They're not just listening to the story, the words that you tell. They are looking at your body language. They are looking at your tone, or listening for your tone, rather. All of these things affect or show your sincerity or lack thereof of the claims that you are making, for better or worse. Even if your testimony is true. And we all need to be mindful of that. All this is true for your life witness toward Jesus as well. The way you react to life's situations, what happens to you throughout your life, even if it's garbage that is thrown at you, your reaction is a direct indication of your relationship with the God you serve. And so, are you always responding with love and grace? Or are you the type of person who is looking to make war? Are you always looking to tear down rather than build up? Can you discern when to speak, when not to speak? And yet, despite all of that, there are times, there is a time for all of these things. Even in regards to how it may affect you as a witness, there is a time and a place for all of these things. Maybe you need to say the hard thing to someone, and even though you know they may be offended. Maybe you need to tear something down so that you can then build it back up. The wisdom and the call you as a child of God, on you rather as a child of God, is to discern and act in the way that God has called you in any of these situations. Now, this is something to keep in mind in particular here in Edmonton. Edmonton being a large part of the city, a large city rather, is very broad, very diverse. there are so many people from so many different traditions, so many different backgrounds, cultures, and the like. This was part of the appeal, part of the reason why we chose to come to Edmonton initially. We knew that this, of course, would present a challenge to us, but it was also an opportunity to engage with all different kinds of people and become, quite frankly, in those moments, even more self-aware and improve as an individual. I think we all have that opportunity, right? But bearing that in mind, I would challenge you to be mindful of this as well as you and make these sorts of things your goal. Your reactions, the way you engage with life's circumstances, will be a witness to not only the people whom are in your circles, but friends, you get the privilege of showing a multiplicity of people from all different backgrounds, all different kinds of traditions. You get the opportunity to show them here in Edmonton how God has shaped you and molded you, how your relationship with Him is working in this world. And so, be vigilant. If not for yourself, in light of the God that you are called to serve. Now, building on this theme, as the poem continues, the author shifts in verse 4 to the realm of emotions. There will be a time to weep and a time to laugh, he says, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, it's no secret that today we live in a culture that is tampered with emotions. People are passionate these days, and at times, of course, rightfully so. There are so many causes to fight for, so many issues that need to be resolved and corrected. And the emotional passion that you display when you're engaged in those causes will certainly win others to your side. Our emotions and the experiences that we have are part and parcel to the human experience. Even anger, for instance. Right? Consider Jesus. Jesus was angered with righteous anger, we might say. In John chapter 2, Jesus walked into the temple and saw that it had essentially become a marketplace. It was not as if the market, though, was a bad thing per se, but nor the fact that people were selling items that they would need to make sacrifice as part of their worship service. Rather, these activities, this marketplace, was encroaching then on what everyone was coming to the temple to in the first place, namely to worship. Anything that overshadows or crowds in on your ability to worship can often, and very often does, become an idol that you put in God's place. Or at the very least, it distracts you from the God you were meant to worship. And so Jesus, of course, would have none of this. And so we read in John chapter 2, he made a whip of cords, or out of cords, and drove from the temple courts both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins and the money changers and overturned the tables. Jesus acted in anger in that moment. Yet the thing to keep in mind here as we look at Jesus' experience, yes, Jesus was angry. But his anger was a righteous anger, an anger meant to defend the ability and the cause that His people are always meant to engage in, first and foremost, that is the worship of the God who created them. Well, listen, the point of our passage today is that there is a time and a place for nearly every human emotion throughout our experience, including the emotion of anger, frustration even. Those emotions, those experiences are best, though, considered in light of the purpose for which we were made, to fear God and keep His commands. So as we consider that, what are your passions? What are your emotions directed toward? And now, 4 years, it's been my pleasure to have seen many of your passions, to see you exude yourselves in many different ways with all your might. Many of you are passionate and driven people, without a doubt. Passionate about the pursuits of your family. Passionate about work and doing well there. Many of you are just plain passionate about having fun and enjoying a good time. All these things are good. There is nothing wrong with any of them. And considering our passage today, especially, there is a time for all of them in our lives. And so as I head out the door here today, I want to remind you to keep the main thing though. Use your efforts, your energies, your emotions, your passions to carry the cause of Christ forward, to demonstrate a witness toward Him more clearly. Get more passionate about your faith. And the reality is many of you are, and that's amazing. I've had the pleasure of having many long conversations with many of you as you explore those passions. But as you continue to engage them, I would encourage you to continue to stoke the flame. For everyone, though, the reminder I give is that while there is a time and place for all of the passions that you have in your life, your passions are best fulfilled and stoked as you expend them on the God who created you and the relationship therein. And Jesus is an absolute example for us. He laid down His life while experiencing every single human emotion in these moments to deal with the greatest problem that you and I have, the sin that separates us from God. Bearing it on His shoulders, He died in our place so that you, me, all of us could rightfully fear God and keep His commands. Now, even though each and every one of us are still flawed in Christ, the reality is God has made us so that we are right as rain in His presence. And so this morning I chose this passage for a lot of reasons, quite frankly. Primarily, though, because it's a reminder for you and for me that in life there is a time and a place for everything. A whole array of actions, as well as the full gamut of emotions. I think that is what we have felt as we have engaged this process over the last several months. Fear, excitement, even anger and frustration. I don't know how you might be feeling this morning, maybe a bit of these emotions as well. I've been humbled over the past several weeks now with many of your gracious and loving responses after we announced this news at the end of last month. Many of you have shared the impact that I and my family have had on you. And I just want to stand up here and praise God for that. I will always remember late evenings at McDonald's or Boston Pizza with folks that I was discipling. Etched in my mind will be weddings, funerals, and Zoom meetings galore. While in the grand scheme of things, I do recognize and accept that I'll probably just be a blip on the radar screen for many of you in the grand scheme of your life. at the risk of being cheesy, he will not just be a blip on my radar screen. This is my first call, after all. You have shaped me, you have molded me in many ways that maybe I don't even realize at this point in my life and in my ministry. And so for that, this morning I want to say thank you. But as our text says this morning, there is a time to plant and a time to uproot. And I do believe that that time is now. You know, I opened this sermon by talking about regret. And I'm sure many of you are probably wondering, man, does he regret coming here to Edmonton? My answer to that is no, of course not. I may have some regrets about not doing certain things in the way I should have, or not doing things right, or not doing certain things at all. I don't know. One of the things this passage teaches all of us is that while there is an array of actions and experiences and even emotions we can and should all have at various points in our lives, God can and is honored in all of them. And he shapes us through them. And so for that, I simply stand grateful today. And so, my friends, keep fighting the good fight. Honor Jesus in all you do. And may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us to have wisdom to discern when the time is right to do whatever it is that we do. Because there is a time and place for everything. Holy Spirit, meet us, change us, shape us. Draw us closer to yourself, because without a doubt, as we draw closer to you, we will be wise to discern the ups and downs of this life. Grant us your presence, and may we honor you in all we do. In the name of Jesus, amen.